I came upon a video about a man. This man was a Somali man living in East Africa, and he had a lot of problems. He had problems with his wealth. He had problems with his marriage. He had problems with his kids. He had problems in his job. He said, "Everywhere I turned, my life was all problems." And it began, like many Muslims do, desperately to seek a solution from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he went in, as so many of us do, and start typing in Google, solution to problems, dua. So he came upon a WhatsApp group that was advertised online. He joined the WhatsApp group. So WhatsApp group, I'm telling you this story because contemporary stories move us more. Even though past stories, the guidance is more pure. But contemporary stories, living in the world that we live in, it's more moving, more inspiring. So this man, he gets on the WhatsApp group. The WhatsApp group is all about Salah on the Prophet. They share different expressions of Salah on the Prophet. They encourage people to do it. They send reminders, etc. And he joined this group and he started doing it. Now, first of all, what is Salah on the Prophet? Salah on the Prophet is something that is said by Allah, by the angels, and by us. The wording and the meaning of Salah on the Prophet, the Salah is a word that expresses all of the words of the following: mercy, blessing, increased rank, right? Everything good is summarized in the word Salah. So it's not just mercy, otherwise we'd say mercy. It's not just barakah. Barakah is increase. It's not just purification, otherwise we'd say these other words, right? So the ulama say, Salah on the Prophet, yashmal kull khayr. Okay? It gathers all of these good things, and it's an elevation of rank and everything else. And salam is the opposite. Now, the removal and being at peace or being safe from all bad things. So this everything good and the removal of everything bad. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does this and he says, "Inna Allahu malaikatahu yusalluna 'ala an-nabi," Allah and his angels make salah. When Allah does this, it's an elevation of rank for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and all those blessings. When we do it, because Allah commands us in the same verse to do it, "Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu sallu 'alayhi wa sallimu taslima," then we are taking from that. We are taking from all that good that came to the Prophet, we are taking. This is why the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, "Allah gives and I distribute." Allah gives all this goodness to the Prophet and it's distributed to us by us following him, including making salah upon him. So now this man, he said, "I started doing it. And really every time my mind would go to my concerns and my worries and my problems, I'd say, stop, go to the salah on the Prophet." And he said, "I started to do it. Really, I felt odd the first time. I didn't know what I was doing. But very soon, I was doing 100 a day. Very soon, I was doing 500 a day. Very soon, I was doing 1,000 a day. Without me realizing, I was forgetting my problems and they were being solved one at a time." It took him a year. By a year, he said, "One day, I said to myself, I'm going to do 10,000 salah on the Prophet." He did 10,000. "One day I'm going to do 15,000 salah on the Prophet." Can you imagine this? 15,000 salah on the Prophet, peace be upon him. He said in that day, it was a Jummah, around Asr time. We're going to get to that in a later video. He said his wife came in the room while he was doing 15,000 salawats on the Prophet, almost finished the 15 before Maghrib. His wife came in, sat on the bed and said, "What has happened to us in the past year? All the problems that we had, they went away one at a time without me even realizing." Right? That's exactly corresponding to the time that he started his salah on the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And here you have the action of that man reflected in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam that comes from Ubay bin Ka'b. Ubay bin Ka'b said, "I do one quarter of my extra devotions. I have made it salah upon you." The Prophet said, "Good, and if you increase, better." He said, "Then one third." He said, "Good, and if you increase it, better." "Then one half." He said, "Good, and if you increase it, better." He said, "Then all of it. I'm going to make all my extra time, my extra worship." Of course, Ubay is a hafiz of the Quran. So after reviewing the Quran, salah on the Prophet. That's all I'm going to do. After what he has to do. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Idhan tukfa hammak wa yughfar laka dhanbuk. Tukfa hammak wa yughfar laka dhanbuk. All of your concerns will be gone and all of your sins will be gone." As a result of this, the Many of the arifina billah, those who are very pious and close to Allah, say, if you want your dua answered, make much salah on the Prophet, because it is an observed reality that the people who make much salah on the Prophet, all the prayers are always answered. One of them even said, before he makes dua, when he's just thinking about something, Allah answers it for him. All as a result, it's as if Allah said to him, don't worry about asking, stay busy with salah. That's why Allah gives it to him before he even asks. Don't be distracted by asking for matters of this world. Stick to salah on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I'm going to answer you before you even ask. You're doing one of the most lofty dhikrs that there is after the Quran, the salah on the Messenger. How do I do this? The simplest form is to say, Allahumma salli wa sallim ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Right? Because this is what we say in the tashahud. Some ulama added, wa sahbihi. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim. And you can shorten this all. Allahumma salli wa sallim alayhi. Because in the Quran, Allah uses the pronoun, so we can use the pronoun. Allahumma salli wa sallim alayhi. Just as Allah says, ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslim. So this is how you do it. And the ulama said the least of much is 300. Because Allah says, udhkurullah dhikran kathira. Remember Allah with much remembrance. So what is much? The ulama said, it seems to be 300. Yeah. What if someone says, how can I make salah on the Prophet and ignore Allah? This is one of the most foolish statements you can shaitan put in your head. Are you making salah on salam on the Prophet except because Allah commanded us to? And aren't you beginning your salah and salam by saying the word Allahumma? Every salah on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is obedience and remembrance of Allah. They are never to be separated. One time there was a man in Riyadh who his daughter unfortunately had a very bad marriage. And every once in a while, this man, he would lay his hands on her and really mess her up very badly. And reason was that he was from a very elite family and she was from a regular family. I mean, they weren't some mediocre family, but they were just a regular family. So he felt that he had some kind of say over her and she would never expose him and never complain about it. So this woman complained to many shuyukh, and finally one sheikh said to her, you need the dua of tahajjud. So this woman proceeded now to seek never to miss a night of tahajjud. And she did this from the beginning of January. And she did tahajjud and woke up in the last third of the night, even when she wasn't praying. When she wasn't praying, she just made dua. When she was praying, she would pray a couple rakahs of salah, begging Allah Ta'ala for a way out of this situation that she found herself in. On the 70th night, 70th day, her husband came into her room weeping, got on his knees next to the bed and said, I realized how evil my deeds have been and how wicked my deeds have been. And he apologized over and over and over and swore that he would reform his life. And the woman said it was true to his word. He did, in fact, reform his life. From then on, they had a normal marriage. The Prophet ﷺ said, يَنْزِلُ رَبُّنَا تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى كُلَّ لَيْلَ إِلَى السَّمَاءِ الدُّنْيَا حِينَ يَبْقَى ثُلُثُ اللَّيْلِ الْآخِرِ يقول من يدعوني فأستجيب له من يسألني فأعطيه ومن يستغفرني فأغفر له. You don't need anything more than this. It says, our Lord descends in the last third of the night to the lowest sky of this world. And he calls out, who has a need that I may fulfill? Who is seeking repentance that I may forgive them? Who has a desire that I could answer it for them? In this dua, some have said it is the command of Allah, the will of Allah. Others said and attributed to Malik that it is a special angel who writes down whatever comes out of your mouth by the command of Allah. He's commanded to do so. Whatsoever comes out of your mouth, if you say it at that time, will be answered for you. Now, why is it that this woman had to wait 70 days? There is nothing that says you have to wait 70 days. That's simply her story. She got the answer of her dua on the 70th day. And it could be Allah Ta'ala wanted to strengthen her dua. So you wake up for the tahajjud for the first time. It's not feasible or imaginable you're going to be great on the first time you do something. It's not reasonable to think you're going to be great on the second, 10th, 9th, 11th time you do something. But now, 2 months and 10 days, 70 days, you're going to get good. How do you do tahajjud? Tahajjud is not a specific salah in itself. It's a time. Any nafilah two rakas, short, long, whatever their length. Two rakas, four rakas, eight rakas. The Prophet's routine was eight rakas, followed by shafa and witr. Imam Malik narrates the hadith that the Prophet said, whoever prays 12 rakas receives a castle in paradise. He said it's 12 rakas of tahajjud. Ibn Abbas said the Prophet would wake up, brush his teeth with the miswak, wipe the sleep off his face, make wudu, recite the last 10 ayahs of Ad Imran, and then he would pray two short rakas, as if to say like a warm-up. And then he would pray long rakas, raka after raka, and long ruku'a, and long sujood, 2 and 4 and 6 and 8. And then he would salam out, and then he would pray witr. Witr is one raka by itself, and it can have any two rakas before it. Shafa, it's called. Shafa can be any two rakas. As long as you pray two rakas before your witr, then you've fully completed your witr. Well, the witr by itself is one raka. In the Hanafi schools, three rakas. And that was the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. Then he would lay down a little bit until the adhan of Fajr went off, pray two rakas, and then he would wait again for the jama'ah to join in the masjid. So the Prophet used to do this tahajjud in his home, and it's a highly rewardable. Problems will be solved just through tahajjud. And trust me, there are stories after story after story where problems were solved on nothing more than tahajjud, particularly the guidance of children. The guidance of children, when their parents make tahajjud praying for those kids, only good things happen. I can't tell you how many times somebody told me, I prayed istikhara, but I didn't see any dreams. Firstly, istikhara has nothing to do with seeing dreams. This is one of those myths, almost like to divorce your wife, you have to say it three times. It's one of those types of mistakes in Sharia and in deen that spread far and wide and need to be constantly corrected. And istikhara is in fact a lot easier than what people imagine and make it out to be. So what is istikhara, first of all? Istikhara is to make a decision. But I want to know if this decision is good for me or not. And in this case, istikhara essentially is asking Allah, did I make the right decision? And the sign that Allah will give you is not going to come down and answer you directly. He's going to give you a sign. What is the sign? It doesn't have to be a dream. What it is actually mentioned in the dua itself. Oh Allah, if I made the right decision, make it easy for me. So all of a sudden, the obstacles are going away. And if I made the wrong decision, then make a distance between me and it. Move me away from it and move it away from me. So you start seeing obstacles come in between you two. Impossibilities occurring that render your choice, even if no matter how much I want it, it is now impossible. So that's the concept of istikhara. Now I want to note two things. Number one, istikhara is only one half of the process. The other process is called istishara with a sheen. Istikhara with a kha, istishara with a sheen. Istishara is to seek shura or counsel with people who know the field that you're going into. So if you want to marry a guy, you ask people who know that guy, not the imam. Imams should really almost sometimes be the last people you ask because everyone's on their good behavior in the masjid. But ask the friends, people who traveled with that person, people who dealt with in business with that person, people who roommated with that person, the people who know that person inside out. So that's the concept of istishara. You ask people who are knowledgeable in that field. Now, the process of istikhara, second thing we want to talk about is how do I do istikhara? Istikhara can be done at any time except for the two times where it's makruh to pray, haram even to pray, which is after fajr, after you prayed salatul fajr until the sun rises, and after you prayed asr until maghrib comes in. You pray two rakas, and you can recite anything in it, but it's recommended to recite kafirun and ikhlas. And then you recite the following dua, and I'm going to read it directly from a book I advise that you all purchase. It's called The Book of Remembrance. It's everything that has to do with dua and dhikr can be found in this book by Imam An-Nawawi. And the dua is, Allahumma inni astakhiruka bi'ilmik. Oh Allah, I seek your guidance through your knowledge. Astakhiruka bi'ilmik. Wa astaqdiruka biqudratik. And I seek strength through your power. Wa as'aluka min fadlika al-azim. And I ask of your great bounty. For you have power and I have no power. And you know and I don't know. And you are the knower of the unseen. We don't know the unseen. Allahumma in kunta ta'alam. Oh Allah, if you know that this this matter is good for me. Khayrun li fi dini wa ma'ashi wa aqibati amri. In my deen and in my life and in my afterlife. And in another narration it says, aw ajilihi, ajili amri wa ajilihi. My dunya and my akhirah, essentially. Same meaning. تَقْدِرْهُ لِي. Will it for me. وَيَسِّرْهُ لِي. This is the key. Make it easy for me. ثُمَّ بَارِكْ لِي فِي. Then bless it for me. وَإِنْ كُنْتَ تَعْلَمْ. And if you know that this and هذا الأمر شر لي. And you know that this matter is bad for me in this life and in the next. فِي دِينِي وَمَعَاشِي وَعَقِبَةِ أَمْرِي. In another narration, فِي عَاجِلِي أَمْرِي وَآجِلِي. فَصْرِفْهُ عَنِّي. Push it away from me. وَصْرِفْنِي عَنْهُ. Push me away from it. So something will come and the opportunity will go away. Or something will come into your heart and you won't want it anymore. وَقْدِرْ لِيَ الْخَيْرِ حَيْثُ كَانْ ثُمَّ أَرْضِنِي بِهِ. And destined for me goodness wherever it is, and then make me content by it. That again is the dua of istikhara you recite. Now, how many times should I recite it? First of all, you can combine this with any nafilah. You pray maghrib, the two rakas of nafilah, you can make it istikhara. You pray tahajjud, the two rakas of tahajjud can be istikhara. You pray a couple rakas when you walk into the masjid, that two rakas can be istikhara. There is a weak hadith that says, pray istikhara 7 times. Doesn't have to be in a row. He doesn't mean in a row. He means, let's say after Maghrib, you pray istikhara. After Isha, istikhara. Next day, before Dhuhr, istikhara. Next day, it's whatever. Up to 7 times. And in this weak hadith, it says, after 7 times that you prayed istikhara, what your heart leans to will be good for you. And now, why do some say this is weak? Because of the chain, of course, they say it's weak. But also because the dua of istikhara tells us something different. The dua of istikhara tells us that the events of life is what will give us our answer. The events of life will make the matter very easy for us or will make the matter very difficult for us. Lastly, before I finish, I want to dispel one other misconception around istikhara, and is the misconception that istikhara is between two things. Rather, a person should make istishara, seek counsel, make a decision on one of the two things, then pray istikhara about that one thing. Then if it turns out that that's not good for you, well then you only have one option left. So istikhara is not necessarily, I have two options, I don't know what to do. You have to try to weigh which one is best for you. Make an effort, get help, and then once you decide upon that one thing, then you make istikhara.